And blessings be multiplied to you, dear friend. I'm Wumi Ademola, your partner in the pursuit of intimacy with God. Join me as we welcome the sweet Holy Spirit, our master teacher. Darling Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. It's such an honor to be in your presence today and to be taught by you. As we hear your word right now, please guide our hearts to all truth and radically change us by your mighty power. And we promise to give you and you alone all of the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time we began to talk about the seventh part of the fruit of the Spirit, which is faithfulness. And faithfulness, I said, is the quality of being trustworthy and reliable. It is being somebody that God and other people can depend upon. Now, God requires you and me to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 said it. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. We discover that we're God's stewards, charged with the responsibility of taking good care of the things that God has given us. When we are faithful with what God has given us, He will abundantly reward us with blessings. That's what Proverbs 28:20 says, that a faithful man will abound with blessings. But on the contrary, if we are not faithful with what God has given us, we will end up with a hard life. That's what we saw happen to the prodigal son. Proverbs 13:5 says, the way of the unfaithful is hard. And so it is very important that we be good stewards, we be faithful, and take good care of everything that God has given us. Now today I want us to conclude our discussion on faithfulness by examining three specific areas where God requires for us to be faithful. First of all, God requires you and me to be faithful in all our relationships, beginning, of course, with our relationship with God. Hosea 2:20 in the easy-to-read version of the Bible says, I will make you my faithful bride. Then you will really know the Lord. Faithfulness is being God's faithful bride. It is you loving God and God alone, staying committed to Him, not loving the world or not loving other false gods. Faithfulness is you honoring your commitment to God, the commitment you made when you gave your life to Christ, and remaining true to Him alone, just like a bride will honor her commitment or is expected or required to honor the commitment she made to the groom and vice versa the day they got married. And so she's not going to mess around with other men. He's not going to mess around with other women. They're going to stay true to one another. That is faithfulness. But if you love the world, the Bible says you are an adulterer. You're somebody that is not faithful to your relationship with God. James 4:4 says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So faithfulness is you not befriending the world. Look at what James 4, the next verse says. Verse 5 of James chapter 4, he says, or do you not think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? One translation says, the spirit God made to live in us wants us only for himself. So God wants you and me only for himself. And that's faithfulness. When we respect that desire of the Lord to be totally separated unto him, sold out to him, committed to him, not living a life of compromise, not living a life of carnality. That is faithfulness. It is your ability to stay true to your relationship with God. Next, God also requires us to be faithful to the people that he has put in our life. He expects you to be faithful to your family, to your friends, to your colleagues, to your employers or employees, and so forth. So in this regard, In regard to human relationships, faithfulness is your ability to be true to all the people that God has put in your life, to relate to them according to the way of God, not according to the way of the world. You need to understand, my friend, that the Bible has specific standards for how we are to relate on every level of our relationships. The Bible reveals specific ways in which a husband is to relate to his wife and vice versa, parent to the children, children to the parent, employer to the employee, employee to the employer, citizen with the government, pastor to congregation, congregation to pastor, and the list is endless. But the Bible clearly reveals to us how we're to relate with one another at every level of our relationships. And so faithfulness is you respecting the standards that God has set and relating to people in your life accordingly, staying true to what God has said. And that means you're true to the people. When you relate to people the way God has listed in his word, then you are faithful to them. You're true to them. Now, secondly, the second area of faithfulness, you know, the first is with our relationships, relationship with God, people. And secondly, God requires you and me to be faithful with the possessions that he has given us. You need to understand that you have what you have, my friend, by God's grace alone. The money you have is not your own. It is God's and must be used for his glory. And so faithfulness is your ability not to hold on to the money that belongs to God, but to give it to him willingly and cheerfully. It means that you honor him with your tithes and your offerings. 2 Chronicles 31:12 says, "Then they faithfully brought in the offerings, the tithes, and the dedicated things." They didn't keep the money for themselves and divert the money that they were supposed to bring to God's house for their personal use. The Bible says they faithfully brought in the offerings, the tithes, and the dedicated things to God. You see, failure to bring the offerings and the tithes to the Lord is being unfaithful with the money that God gave you. Never forget that all the silver and gold in this world belongs to God. He owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. It does not belong to you. You have what you have because he gave it to you. And therefore, you must faithfully honor him with what belongs to him. Do not withhold what God has given you. To do so is to be unfaithful. Malachi 3:8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings," is God's response. And then in verse 9, he says, "You are cursed with a curse." Remember, we read it earlier, Proverbs 13:5, "The way of the unfaithful is hard." And so whoever is unfaithful with money, the Bible says in verse 9, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Verse 10, he now says, you can avoid the curse and you can make way for the blessing. You know, Proverbs 28:20 said, "A faithful person will abound in blessings." And so verse 10, God says, avoid the curse. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So faithfulness means you give unto God what belongs to God. And yes, this takes me to the next point. You also give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. In Luke 20:25, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God." Friend, you need to understand that faithfulness in your finances also means you do not rob the government of their taxes either. You know, it's so sad how some Christians today are guilty of tax evasion. This is wrong. You may be paying your tithes, but if you're evading taxes, as far as God is concerned, you are unfaithful. So, beloved, you must pay your taxes just as you pay your tithes. At the time of this recording, it is tax season right here in the United States. And so I'm addressing all my American listeners, please pay your taxes. Don't evade them. Don't lie on your tax return either or make fraudulent claims. Be faithful, because to do so, to be unfaithful and to evade tax, is not just to incur the wrath of the IRS, but also the wrath of God. Remember, the way of the unfaithful is hard, but the faithful man will abound in blessings. Choose blessings. Give unto God what belongs to him, the tithe and the offering, and give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, what belongs to, in our case, Uncle Sam, the taxes. God will honor you in Jesus' name. Finally, God requires you and me to be faithful to our God-given job. 2 Chronicles 34:12 says, "And the men did their work faithfully." Friend, how are you doing your work? Are you doing your work faithfully or unfaithfully? As a Christian, it must never be said of you that you're unfaithful at your job. It must never be said that you're surfing the net when you're supposed to be sorting out office files, that you're talking on the phone when you're supposed to be handling a contract. You must understand that in all your work, the person that you are serving first and foremost is God. Your employer or your supervisor are just God's representatives. And so God takes very seriously how you work, and he expects you as a Christian to work faithfully. Look at what Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. It says, "Servants," that is employees, "in everything, obey those who are your masters on earth," that is those who are your employers or your supervisors, "not only with external service, as those who merely please people, but with sincerity of heart, because of your fear of the Lord." And look at what verse 23 says. "Whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul," that is, put in your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men. So do your job, putting in your best effort, because what you do is primarily for the Lord, and then second, for man. Don't be unfaithful. Do your job sincerely and skillfully. And when you serve God faithfully, God, who you serve at that job, will reward you. I tell you, my friend, true promotion does not come from your CEO or your chairman. It comes from God and God alone. I see promotion coming your way today, my friend. Just be faithful at your job, and God will bless you in Jesus' name. Well, we're out of time today. Thank you for tuning in. Till next time, remain richly blessed and ready for the return of the Lord. Beloved, the greatest decision that you could ever make is the decision to accept God's free gift of salvation. And so I want to invite you today to make the decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, to surrender your life completely unto Him. And all you need to do is to surrender your life today. Ask Him to save you from your sins, to give you a brand new heart, and help you to follow Him all the days of your life. And if you make that decision today, I'd like to email you an e-copy of my book, Up Close and Personal with Jesus Christ. That book is going to help you to better understand what it really means to be a Christian and how you can live your life 100% for the Lord Jesus Christ. All you need to do is to email me at knowinggodradio@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And also remember that you should feel free at any time to send me your prayer request and praise report at the same address. I look forward to hearing from you. God bless you.